Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming, or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. Visit speakuptalkradio.com. Well, I'm especially excited to share today's guest with you. He's written an award-winning military nonfiction book, and he is Steve Snyder. Born in Pasadena, California, Steve was raised in the neighboring community of San Marino. He graduated from UCLA and during the Vietnam War years served 6 years in the California Army National Guard. In 1972, he moved to Seal Beach, California, where he lives today. In 2009, he retired from Vision Service Plan after a 36-year career working in sales and management. And soon after retirement, Steve began his quest to learn more about the World War II experiences of his father, pilot Howard Snyder, and his crew of the B-17, Susan Ruth. It became his passion, and after 4.5 years of dedicated research, it resulted in the book Shot Down, which has won 17 National Book Awards. One result of his new career as a World War II historian is that he is a member of numerous World War II organizations and is president of the 306th Bomb Group Historical Association. This is history and an homage, and I am so interested to learn more. So let's get started. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here, Pat.
I am glad you are here as well. I know that this book is clearly a labor of love for you. Why don't you, if you will, share with us the events that led you to the writing of the book?
Okay. Well, as you mentioned, I retired in 2009, and I finally had time to really delve into my dad's war history in further detail. I knew the basics of it, but I wanted to learn more. At that time, it was never my intention to write a book. I just wanted to go through all the material my parents had kept from the war years. And there were two pieces of information that were really significant. One was a diary that my father wrote while he was missing in action about his plane being shot down. And the other were all the letters that my mother had kept that my father had written to her during the war years. And I just became fascinated with the story of my father and his crew, and it became my passion. And I started reading book after book about the air war over Europe. I went on the internet and spent countless hours doing research, downloading declassified military documents. As you mentioned, I joined a number of World War II organizations, started going to reunions, listening to veterans tell their stories. And finally, in 2012, I was at a reunion of the 306 Bomb Group in Savannah, Georgia. I realized that the story of my dad and his crew was so unique and so compelling that it needed to be heard, and people needed to read about it. So I decided to write a book.
There's so many folks probably our age whose father was in World War II, and you hear the stories around the dinner table, and you just kind of let that wash over you, and you don't give much thought to it, that this was really somebody's life and what really was involved in those days and times. And so for you to go delving through that and putting all those parts and pieces together, I applaud you for doing that. More people need to pay attention to those conversations, I think.
Oh, without a doubt. There's no other event in history that affected more people than World War II. 60 million people died, millions more were wounded, millions more homeless and depressed. It changed the course of the United States and the world forever. And brave young men who fought and died for freedom are definitely members of the greatest generation. We can't forget their sacrifice. It's our duty to remember.
I agree with that. And I'm sure as you were putting this book together, part of the basic research was done for you between your dad's journal and the letters that he had written to your mom. But aside from that, I'm imagining there was a whole lot of research that needed to go into that to find out more than what you just had in your memoirs there.
Well, I was very lucky that my parents had kept so much information. Most relatives of World War II vets have very little information. And I had also other information from some of the other crew members. But I probably wouldn't have written the book if it wasn't for two Belgian gentlemen, Dr. Paul Delahaye and Jacques Lalot, who were young boys during the war, greatly affected by it. They saw the atrocities committed by the Nazis firsthand. Later in life, they become became local historians, they interviewed lots of Belgian people and members of the underground and documented their testimony about events that took place in involving my dad's crew and my dad. So they just gave me a wealth of information. I'm in a great debt to those two men.
How did you find them?
Dr. Delahaye, he formed the Belgium American Foundation in the mid-80s to remember and honor the American troops who liberated his country from Nazi oppression. They built a number of memorials in the area. In fact, in 1989, he built one to my father and his crew in Mackinac, Belgium. And he invited my dad over for the dedication of that. In fact, my dad and three other members of his crew went over with their spouses for the dedication. Mm. And like most World War II vets, my dad hadn't really talked about it too much before then, but he was reunited with a lot of the Belgian people that hit him while he was missing in action. He saw some of the places where he was hidden, and that brought it all back, and he started talking about it more. I went over to Belgium in 1994 with my parents for the 50th anniversary of the liberation of Belgium. That's really when it became personal for me, because I saw some of those houses where he was hidden and met some of his helpers.
Wow, how, I don't even know what word to use that must have felt to see those places where here your dad, a young boy really, was hiding and fearful and all the emotions he must have been having.
Yeah, you can only imagine what it must have been like for airmen that evaded capture. Here they had the shock of their plane being knocked out of the sky by German fighters. They land in a country, a foreign land. No one can speak the language. They don't know what happened to their buddies and the crew. They can't communicate with any loved ones at home. At any moment, while he was hiding, the Gestapo, the German secret police, could come barging in to the house and arrest him and send him either to prison camp or to shoot him.
Mm-hmm. Was he alone?
Yeah, he was separated from the other members of his crew. He was shot down. Their plane was named the Susan Ruth, after my oldest sister, who was 1 year old at the time. He went overseas. But he was the first pilot or commander of the plane, so he was the last one to bail out, as other members who were able to bail out actually came down in northern France, and my dad landed in Belgium, just across the French border.
Wow.
But he never knew what happened to other members of his crew until he got back to England after being liberated. He was missing in action for 7 months, but he evaded capture. Part of the time, he was hidden by Belgian people, but then he got tired of hiding, and he decided to join the French resistance, the Maquis, and began to sabotage German convoys. And he was finally liberated 7 months later on September 2nd, 1944, by Patton's Third Army after they came up through France after D-Day.
Oh, this is just so huge. I'm so fascinated by this. And I bet you were fascinated, too, when you kind of had a unique peek into your father and your mother's life and their relationship just going through those letters. What did you learn from that?
Well, it was pretty amazing. My dad was really candid in his letters, not only expressing his love for my mother, but he talked about combat missions that he flew on. He talked about what life was like at the base at Thurlow, England, what life was like in London and in England at that time, some of the escapades his crew members got in. So it was really a look into what happened 70 years ago. It was kind of like my father talking to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, so the cover of your book is of the crew, and it's somehow pleasantly haunting.
Yeah, the every B-17 crew or B-24 crew, for that matter, had a crew picture taken, and they are wonderful pictures. So it shows the 10-man crew. There were four officers and then six enlisted men. But of the 10, five of them made it back. Five of them did not. It was really special when the four crew members who went back for the dedication of the memorial to them and their plane. They spent about a week back there. The Belgian people are wonderful people. To this day, they still are so thankful and grateful for the Americans and other Allied troops that came to their rescue. And they do a great job of educating the younger people about the importance of remembering as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what your book does for all of us. It helps us to remember. So what do you feel makes this book different from others in this genre?
Well, that's an interesting question. After all the reading I did, it seemed like most books fell into one of two categories. One was either they're very large in scope, that talk about lots of bomb groups, lots of crews, lots of missions, or they're very narrow in scope. They're one's man story of either being of flying combat missions or being a prisoner of war. But Shot Down goes into detail about what happened to each member of a specific crew, because something different happened to each one of those crew members. And also it's unique in the fact that so much of the story takes place on the ground. About the first half of the book builds up to the day that my dad's plane was shot down. The second half of the book goes into detail of not only what happened to each member of the crew, but about all the Belgian people that risked their lives to help them.
Plus, you have a lot of pictures in the book as well.
Yeah, there's over 200 time period photographs. And again, I was so very fortunate to have access to all these pictures from 70 years ago. It was amazing how many pictures were sent to my father from people that helped him. And then also Dr. Delahaye and Jacques Lalot provided me with lots of pictures from that time period. Mm-hmm. So you can visualize everything that you're reading about in the book, all the people and all the places that are described.
I think that's really helpful, too.
That's one reason I independently published the book, because a large publishing house mm-hmm. wouldn't have allowed me to have so many pictures. And also, they're just not in one section of the book, as you so often see. They're interspersed throughout the book, you know, when those things are being talked about, so you don't have to search for them.
Right, where they belong in the context of the story.
Right.
So how did the crew family members today, like the sons and daughters of the crew members, how do they react to the book?
Well, that was one of the first things I did when I started my research. After I read those letters, I went on a quest to try to find as many relatives of the crew members as I could. And without the help of the internet, of course, I couldn't have done that. But I found members of all the relatives of all the crew members except for one. And some of those people knew very little about their vet. Some of them knew a little bit. So I started providing them with lots of information about what took place, and also asked them if they could send me any letters or pictures or diaries that they had that I could glean from for information for the book. And they were really, really happy. They learned a lot more of the story about their vet, whether it's a brother, you know, a son, a cousin, a grandson, what have you. In 2014, at the 70th anniversary of the liberation of Belgium, of the Susan Ruth being shot down, there was a group of about 28 of us that went over for the celebrations, which was really nice. We all stayed at one inn in southern Belgium, so we really bonded at that. The 75th anniversary is going to be coming up in 2019, and hopefully I can even get more relatives to go over for that.
Well, now, speaking of Belgium, you just got back where you actually filmed locations of where the events described in your book took place. Is that correct?
Yes, yeah. Correct. It was the fourth time I visited Belgium. The first was in 1994 with my parents, and my wife and I went over in 2004, and then, as I mentioned, in 2014, my family and other relatives. And I had taken lots of pictures, but I'd never done any filming, and I've decided to try to produce a documentary about my book, so I went over and spent several days in southern Belgium filming locations where the events took place, interviewing Jacques Lalot and Dr. Delahaye's daughter. He passed away in 2013, but his daughter, Crystal, is now the president of the association. And then from there, I went to Munich, Germany, to film an interview with the German Luftwaffe pilot, Hans Berger, who shot down my dad's plane, 92 years old.
Oh.
In the air battle, they shot his plane down as well. So it was that was an amazing experience. I had talked with Hans over the phone and communicated through email to interview him about information that I put in my book, but I had never met him in person. So that was really special.
That is crazy special, huh?
Yeah.
Wow, what a moment that must have been for you.
Yeah, it was pretty incredible. We got together first and then went to lunch at a little place across the street from where he lives, had some Wiener Schnitzel and a nice Augustiner beer, and then we went back to his apartment and filmed the interview.
Oh, my.
He even showed me his flight book on the day that he registered shooting down my dad's plane and him being shot down. And he had some amazing pictures that will be including in the documentary as well. But he's a real nice guy. A lot of people ask me, I do a lot of speaking and presentations.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes people ask, well, how do you feel about this German pilot that shot down your dad's plane? Do you hate him or mm-hmm. what? And I say, of course not. Yeah, he was just a 19, 20-year-old guy, pretty much like the U.S. airman that was loyal to his country, trying to do a job and trying to stay alive.
No.
I really feel a closeness to Han, because mm-hmm. his life intersected my father's life at a specific moment in time. And really with World War II and being shot down was the most significant event in my father's life. So I really feel a bond toward Han. It was really nice to meet him in person. Yeah, and I wanted to get over there since he is 92 years old.
Right. No, I wouldn't imagine, as you were talking about it, I didn't feel like I would have had any animosity towards this person, because as you say, it was just a young kid doing his job.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it wasn't anything personal.
No.
For sure. So you mentioned you do public speaking. Let's talk about that. What kind of groups do you speak to, and do you basically tell the story, and there's probably a lot of question and answer that follows?
I'm basically working full-time again, promoting my book, and I speak to all sorts of different groups. I have a PowerPoint presentation that I make, but I go to veterans groups, service organizations, World War II associated groups, anyone who's interested in having me. This next week, I'll be going back to Pennsylvania to make a presentation in the Paterno Library at Penn State University.
Mm.
And then following that, I'll be signing my books at the World War II weekend at Reading, Pennsylvania.
Wow.
I keep really busy. Either doing presentations or book signings at various air shows or other events. There's mostly major air museums in the United States carry my book in their gift shops, so oftentimes I'll go to the museums. Even the Smithsonian Air and Space Museum in Washington, D.C. carries my book.
Wow. Well, you should be proud of yourself.
A real honor.
Yeah, I would say you should be proud.
Yeah. Who knew that this little adventure, because I had no background in writing. I was in sales for 40 years, but I guess I had some inherent ability. But it's really the story itself that sells the book and makes it popular.
That's true, and it's quite a book. But although having sales background really helps you with the whole marketing aspect, which I think a lot of authors lack.
Well, definitely. Most authors have no idea what to do once they write their book.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I'm just doing what I did for 40 years.
Exactly.
Just selling a book rather than vision cares.
Yep.
So I have all the marketing background, and I'm not afraid to hear no's. So I kind of amaze my wife at times. I work basically every day, all day, trying to contact people about it.
Well, exactly, especially when it's one person doing that. There's a lot to handle to book promotion. So, but as you said,
there's a great deal.
And as a testament to all of this, you have won quite a few awards, and I can't imagine what an exhilarating feeling that must be.
Yeah, you mentioned 17. Actually, it's up to 19.
Is
now.
It? Oh, I'm sorry. Whoa! In just a few weeks, he's just garnering all these awards.
Yeah. It's been so rewarding. Really, I didn't or personal acclaim or to make any money. It's just tell the story and honor my dad, his crew, really all the men who served in the 8th Air Force and all those who served in World War II.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you had to write the book again, would you change anything?
No, maybe if I'm constantly learning new things, both about World War II and also the specific little details about my dad and his crew. So, you know, just maybe a few more details, but I really wouldn't change anything. Mm-hmm. You know, the story is the story. The only thing I added was a lot of historical information and anecdotes about and surrounding the war to put it in context and give it background. It's really kind of two books in one. There's the story of my dad and his crew, and then it's also lots of history. It's like a history book about the air war in Europe.
Mm-hmm. Maybe for a moment, share your process. So as you were writing this book, did you have a full outline fleshed out? How did that all come together?
Well, my dad, I used my dad's letters that he'd written to my mother as kind of the backbone and use it to put the story in chronological order. And then I just filled in everything around that. Mm-hmm. The beginning of the book talks a little bit about my dad's growing up, and then it goes into his pilot training. Actually, he went into the Army for a year before he joined the Air Force. So it goes into pilot training, then it follows the crew to England and talks about what life was like at the base, what combat missions were like. It talks about a number of combat missions, life in England. And then, as I mentioned, once the plane was shot down on February 8th, 1944, then the story switches to Belgium and what took place there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And how long did it take you to write the book?
Well, from the time I started my research to the time the book was published was 4.5 years. It took me 12 months to actually write the manuscript and then another 8 months to publish it. I formed a one-person limited liability company and then contracted with independent professionals for all the associated services such as editing, cover design, interior layout, printing, and fulfillment. Mm-hmm. One thing I'll mention is that, you know, I didn't want the book just to be a war book for guys. I wanted it to appeal to people who had little or no interest in the war. I wanted it to be a personal story about the human spirit and about people that would appeal to really the general public and women, which it has been, and that's really been satisfying and fulfilling.
That was a wise decision.
Yeah, I didn't want to pigeonhole it because mm-hmm. it really isn't just a war book. You know, it takes place during World War II, but it's really about the human spirit and sacrifice, mm-hmm. redemption.
Yep. Now, I know that the plane was shot down and that's your title. Did you have any other potential title names, or did you know right from the beginning you were going to title it Shot Down?
Oh, well, I thought about that for a while, and that name kind of came to me early, or title came to me early, and I just, no matter how hard I thought, nothing I could come up with was better than that,
mm-hmm.
because that really describes it all.
Absolutely. It's a perfect title. I just wondered if you had any other thoughts floating around that you had to struggle, think, oh, which one?
No, not really.
Go ahead.
I came up with other titles, but they just didn't seem mm-hmm. to be as impactful as that.
Got it. Now, you are the president of the 306th Bomb Group Historical Association. Tell us about the group and what they do.
Well, it was formed after the war. Really, a man named Russell Strong was the guiding force. He was a navigator in the 306th Bomb Group and became its historian. And for many, many years, it was basically a veterans group. But, you know, our vets are losing them at a rapid pace. And fortunately, there's been a lot of second generation people that have stepped in to keep the association going. We still have vets, and they're really our focus. But to keep the association going, it's pretty much second generation. We have an annual reunion every year. This year it's in Dayton, Ohio, in September. We have a newsletter called Echoes that comes out twice a year. And they have a really nice website and a really nice Facebook page as well.
You can share those if you like.
The Facebook page is First Over Germany, 306 Bomb Group. I don't know the exact URL mm-hmm. for it. And then if you just Google 306 Bomb Group, you'll find the web page.
Okay. All right. So it keeps all of this alive by having this association.
Yes, the association's purpose is to educate both, you know, remember the sacrifice of the 306 crew members, and also to educate people about that.
Right.
So it's a real active group, and it's growing. We're doing real well.
Well, with you as president, I can see why.
Yeah, I have a two-year term. I'm in my first year.
Oh, okay.
I was vice president. I was on the board, then vice president. Mm-hmm. As you can imagine, you got to move through the chair.
Uh-huh. They're like, we've got a good one here. Let's keep him. So what's next for Steve Snyder?
Well, just continuing to promote my book, and there's a lot of hard work ahead on this documentary. All we have now is just a lot of raw footage. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have to go through and edit that, add a lot of voiceover, and add pictures into the story to make it run smoothly. I want to have it so so segments can stand on their own, as well as have however long the documentary mm-hmm. might be. At this point in time, I really don't have an idea. I haven't even seen the raw footage yet.
Okay. All right. Well, keep us posted on that.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
I'm all over social media.
Okay.
Like I said, it's a full-time job.
I understand you. Now, is there anything, Steve, that we missed that you would like to share with our listeners today?
One thing that's really nice about what I do is I meet so many new people, and that's great. It's really enjoyable. And I think my book kind of piques or perks people's interest in trying to learn more about they're a vet, so that's very gratifying
yes.
as well.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think you did a great job with this. So where can folks go to learn more about you, and where can we get a copy of your book?
My website is stevesnyderauthor.com. My book's available on Amazon or at Barnes & Noble stores, and probably any independent bookstore can order it. For a signed book, you can go to my website. I'll sign a copy and send it out.
Great. So that's Steve Snyder, S-N-Y-D-E-R, stevesnyderauthor.com. Steve, what a pleasure to meet you and share your father's history. I know it must make you feel proud to carry on his legacy through your book, Shot Down. And I encourage everyone to get their own copy. Head over to stevesnyderauthor.com. Steve, thank you and the best of luck to you.
Well, thank you so much. I greatly appreciate it, Pat.